اهلا يا شهر رمضان شرفنا بلا استئذان، اهلا يا شهر رمضان شرفنا بلا استئذان، بلك باب القلب مفتوح اهلا يا زكاة الروح، بلك باب القلب مفتوح اهلا يا زكاة الروح، اهلا يا شهر رمضان.
اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear brothers and sisters, to be honest with you, it's been a great pleasure. It's a little bit of echo in the voice, if I can fix that. So it's been a great honor and pleasure to be here with you. Alhamdulillah. I hope that Allah accepts all of the a'mal, the ibadat. And I'm glad for you, brothers and sisters. I also encourage other brothers and sisters who may have been listening online that their presence in the masajid is also important. Right? It's ta'aleem of sha'a'ir when we are also present. Right, so alhamdulillah, we thank Allah for that blessing also, that alhamdulillah, Allah gave us this tawfiq. We could be here together, remembering Him, remembering Ahlul Bayt, and inshallah, hastening the appearance of our Master. Brothers and sisters, inshallah, today we'd like to cover verse number 24 from Surah Qasas. And then we want to see what relevant points we can get from this, so that we can act on them, implement them, and inshallah, can hasten the reappearance of our Imam. So verse number 24 starts like this. So where are we in the story, by the way? Where are we in the story? That Musa alayhi salam met the two girls. So he made it to Madian. When he made it to Madian, then he sees that there's two girls and they're standing there. And those two girls who are standing there, they're keeping their sheep back from the water. Musa realizes that the reason that they're keeping their sheep back is because of their modesty, because of their chastity. They don't want to be going and mingling with the men in that fashion. So he realized, and he also realizes something else. The men are taking advantage of the women. They're stronger, they're able to do this. So Musa can't stand that. Musa doesn't allow any sort of oppression. The Muslim man is chivalrous, is honorable, protects women, looks after women. So what he does is he takes those sheep, although the women are not mahram to him, he says, I'll take care of it. And now we're going to go to this part of the verse. فَسَقَى لَهُمَا. Musa went and he took the sheep for those two women and he brought them to get water. He watered the flock for them. ثُمَّ تَوَلَّى إِلَى الظِّلِ. After that, he went back to the shade. It was burning hot outside. After that, he went back to the shade and then he read a dua. He read a dua. قال ربي إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير. He says that, oh Allah, the khair that you have given me, I am in need for that khair that you've given me. So let's translate it in this. My Lord, I am indeed in need of any good that you may send down to me. That's how they translate it in Al-Qira'i's translation. So let me just explain a little bit about what that means. I already explained this verse before, a little bit about it. We're going to see what lessons we can get from it. The khair, they tell us, he says that because of that khair that I'm in need for that khair that you've sent down to me, the khair, they tell us, is quwwah, strength. We learn from the hadith of the Imam that he's thanking Allah for that physical strength that he has. The khair that you've sent down to me, I am in need for that. So what does that mean? A little bit of an explanation. What happens is, with that physical prowess that he had, with that strength that Allah had granted him, he was able to defend the oppressed. He ended up striking that man, and it was an accidental death, but that's physical strength. With the physical strength that he was able to run away from the authorities when they wanted to end his life unjustly. The physical strength Allah had granted him allowed him to be able to escape from those authorities. He made that 8-day walk. Some people maybe would have perished in that heat, in that distance, he made it. Physical strength again. Then now Allah has blessed him. Now he's over here in a new situation. He sees there are women who are being oppressed, women who are being taken advantage of. And again, with his physical strength, he's able to go and take their sheep and then get their sheep to be watered, to water their flock. So all of these things, this is khair. This strength is khair. But he says, In my strength, I'm needy of you, Allah. Musa's not arrogant. He realizes his initial strength comes from God. The continuation of that strength, again, if Allah takes it away, I have nothing. So the initial strength was from God. Continuing that strength is from God. In order to continue that, he's asking Allah for food. Right? In order for me to continue, I'm asking Allah for food. And that's a really important point for us to keep in mind, right? Let's say we are doing well financially, for instance, or religiously. That alhamdulillah, I'm somebody who's actually performing the wajibat, maybe even more than the wajibat. Maybe even more. Maybe spiritually I'm getting somewhere. How do I stay humble and stay true to my roots? Even if when I compare myself, let's say, with non-Muslims, and I see that alhamdulillah, I am really worshiping Allah, I believe, I'm following Ahlul Bayt, how do I stay humble so it doesn't go to my head? Very important, right? When we look at those verses of the Holy Quran that remind us, they say, all praise is due to Allah who guided us to this. And if it was not that Allah had guided us, we would not be guided. So even then, even with guidance, I'm not arrogant. I don't think I'm better than anybody. Allah guided. If it wasn't for that, I don't know where I'd be. So that's really important, the idea of us always making sure, seeing ourselves as being in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's assistance, Allah's help, even if physically we're at where we want to be, right? Some people don't remember these things. They said once that there was an elderly lady, right? Elderly lady, and she would always praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. She would shout out her faith out loud and say that, you know, something good has happened, praise the Lord. And her neighbor, who was next to her, was an atheist. And he didn't like that. So when she would be saying, praise the Lord, he would get angry and say, there is no God. There is no Lord. So things continued like this. And then finally, one day, the old lady said that, you know, she's praying. She's praying out loud. Old Christian lady, she's praying out loud. She says that, God, I need food. God, I need food. I need some help. I need assistance. This month is very difficult for me. And so the neighbor said, this is my chance. And he went quickly to the store and he bought groceries and he put it outside and he put it on the steps of the front of the lady, and then he rang the doorbell and ran and hid behind a bush. So the lady came running out, opens the door, sees there's groceries and starts saying, praise the Lord, you sent me food. Praise the Lord, you sent me food. Alhamdulillah. And the neighbor's like, now is my chance. And he jumps out of a bush and he says, aha, I caught you, old lady. There is no God. I brought that food. Then he noticed the old lady was really cheering then. She was like, alhamdulillah, praise the Lord. She's dancing, clapping, praise the Lord. He said, why are you saying that? She said, praise the Lord. Not only did you send me groceries, you made the devil pay for it. So everything is from God. Everything, even the actions of others, everything is from God. Musa didn't forget. Musa didn't forget. Everything is from Allah. So he realized it was from Allah, continuing it also from Allah. He needed help for that. Now, what I thought we could focus on were the two points about the initial part of this discussion. What did Musa do? Musa volunteered his services to the girls with ikhlas. He didn't go and ask the girls for any recompense. Thank you. Thank me for what I've done. He goes back to the shade. He asks Allah, whatever good you can send down to me, I'm in need. Right? But he doesn't go over and he doesn't, so complete ikhlas. So volunteering our services with ikhlas, something which is very important. God remembering, immortalizing this story here. Now, what we notice from Musa's story, we're not going to be together, so I won't be able to explain the rest of what happens in Musa's story. But that small act, which was done with sincerity and ikhlas and selflessness, that act led him to meet one of Allah's awliya, one of the friends of God, Nabi Shu'aib. He goes and he ends up meeting him. The girls come back, they say, our father wants to give you a reward. He ends up going, meeting their dad. So just meeting one of Allah's awliya is tawfiq. More than that, Shu'aib says that, why don't you marry one of my daughters? So he marries the daughter of a prophet. What else? His financial situation gets straightened out. Musa was, remember, he's running, escaping. He ends up staying 10 years. He has children, right? So many barakah and blessings coming from even a small act. Now, inspiration for you and I. even if we can do something small for God with ikhlas, even something small, one step for the coming of the imam, let's consider ourselves lucky to do that. Make sure that we take that with us. God loves ikhlas in actions. There's a famous story that all of us have heard about the Ahlul Bayt, right? A story where they say that they were fasting for 3 days. Let's say that one of the Ahlul Bayt, two of the members of the Ahlul Bayt had gotten sick, and then in order for cure, that Allah provide cure, they went and they fasted for 3 days. You've heard the story before. And then each day when it was time to break fast, then either a yatim would come, or a miskin would come, or an asir, a prisoner would come. And the Ahlul Bayt, what would they give? The little food that they had, right? So imagine the Ahlul Bayt in Medina at that time, how much food did they have? And then they give it. But God revealed ayat of the Quran talking about this action. What the action on the outside, it seems small. I'm giving bread, for instance. I'm giving wheat, whatever it was that they were giving. But God, ayat of the Quran, what does God say about them? Now, the next thing becomes a little bit difficult, right? How do we know if we have ikhlas? You know what the Ahlul Bayt said? After they went and they did this generous act, other people come to them, they're even maybe more needy. And the Ahlul Bayt, according to some of the tafasir, they say that the Ahlul Bayt were hungry too. It wasn't that they're human beings, they were hungry too, but they preferred others. But the words of the Ahlul Bayt I thought were important for us to hear, recorded in the Quran, and then see how much we have to work. Okay? So, this is what the Imams, so Surah Insan, if we want to look it up ourselves, Surah Insan, verse number 9. What does God say, the Ahlul Bayt say? إِنَّمَا نُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ. We are only feeding you for the sake of Allah. What else? لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We don't want any reward from you. We don't want any thanks from you. How many of us, I've tried to do this myself, I want you guys, think about it yourself. Think about it. If I do a favor to somebody, I do somebody a favor, in my own soul, not outwardly, because none of us outwardly, inshallah, we're not so bold that we would go over and throw it in the person's face. There are some people like that, I'll read an ayat about that. But inshallah, we're not like that. We'll keep it in our own hearts, but we don't even want thanks. Not looking for any appreciation? Or if somebody does it and they don't appreciate me, look, what kind of mu'min is this? In our own minds, right? But the Ahlul Bayt, and think about it, try to do an action, any good deed. I don't even want thanks for this. Don't even want recognition. Not in the bottom of my heart. Not in the bottom of my heart. Now the other one, which is a little scary for you and I. Sometimes with our own level of ikhlas, we do good deeds. Right? We do something for our families. Let's say I do something for my wife. I do something for my children. I do something for the community. Okay? Sometimes we do these good things, but then you and I, a mistake we might make is that we make it become batil. Make it become null and void. I do you a favor, but then on the day of judgment, when I need to see the effect of that favor, I'll go to God and I'll see I don't have any good deeds there. I made it batil in the dunya. How? What's the verse say? So Surah Baqarah, verse 264. What does God say? O you who believe, ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tubtilu sadaqatikum. Don't make your sadaqat batil. Don't make it batil. How? Bil manni wal adha. I make the person feel obliged. After I do the good deed, I remind the person about the favor I just did them. You remember, you know where that money came from. You know where that loan came from. Who was looking up? Right? Make it batil. Mistreat the person afterwards. God forbid, mu'mineen, brothers and sisters, there's reasons why we haven't yet become the soldiers of the imam. We need to look in our personal lives. We have to be doing work, and inshallah we're doing work with ikhlas. Are we able to get the results of that by making sure whatever we do with ikhlas, first of all, not to please anybody. With ikhlas, and afterwards I don't ruin it. Making somebody feel obliged, mentioning it, my name. Right? So, for instance, let's start off with the idea of doing social work for Islam. right? Being involved in a center for Islam, because we need to talk about strategy, how it is that we can advance the cause, right? We need to talk about what it is that is needed from us. What do we need to do? One of the things we want to make keep in mind is that if we, Allah gives tawfiq, if Allah allows us, gives tawfiq, for us to be able to do some social work. For instance, some people have the tawfiq to clean the masjid after people are gone. You know, some of you, inshallah, you have the tawfiq to go to the Islamic Republic of Iran. And in the haram, you'll see that there's people who are there with certain suits on. They're servants, khadim, in the haram, right? Sometimes you'll see individuals who, if you go with the caravan, which is going from the Islamic Republic, there's people who are again serving as khadimin for the caravan. Now, sometimes we might underestimate these individuals. Sometimes the guy who's picking up your shoes in the haram is a general in the army. And you have no idea, he's just wearing a suit. You know, you go on the Hajj trips, the people, they're doctors and lawyers, people are bringing you cheese. Right? You're shouting, get my food! Right? Keep something in mind. Allah hides his awliya. We're told in a hadith, not to disrespect anybody, Allah hides the awliya among the mu'mineen. So we don't want to not consider, people who are serving us, we want to keep that. So, when it comes to Islamic work, doing Islamic work for the sake of God, with ikhlas in the first time, volunteering. What did Musa do? Musa volunteered. He didn't have money. Musa volunteered his strength, right? Maybe I can't give money. Maybe I give time. Maybe I give ideas. Maybe I give, right? Everybody, whatever level I can. So volunteering with ikhlas. Now we're talking about Islamic work, doing Islamic work. So if I'm engaged in Islamic work, one of the things that I want to do is that it should never be about me or my organization or my people. Or my name. This happens, brothers and sisters. My tribe, if we really look deep down, my family. Ikhlas, doing it only for the sake of God. I want my name to be mentioned. They said Bahlul once he asked these mu'mineen, these people, he said, you're building a masjid. He said, whose masjid is this? Why are you building this masjid? They said, we're building it for Allah. He said, if you're building it for Allah, put my name on it. Put Bahlul's mosque. Bahlul's mosque. They said, no, people won't know. They'll think you built it. He said, if it's for God, God knows. It's not about my name. I want to be mentioned. I want people to know. My people, we've done this. Oh, ikhlas. Hadith is a little scary when it comes to ikhlas. One of them is this. It says, Ana, God speaking, Hadith Qudsi, Ana khayru sharik. I'm the best partner, God speaking. I'm the best partner. Faman amila li wa li ghayri. Whoever does something, partially for me, partially for somebody else, fahuwa liman amilahu ghayri. I give that to the other person. I'm doing it for the sake of God, but deep down inside a little bit, me, I'm involved, I my name, that's only for you. God doesn't need it. Ikhlas. Right? So Islamic work should only be doing, we need to learn to work even anonymously. I want to give you some of the lives of some of the shuhada. Some of the brothers who were doing jihad with one of the battlefield commanders, they noticed that their shoes, their boots would always be waxed. Their boots were waxed. Every day we go home, see? And so the brothers are curious. They start looking, how is it that the boots are every day? Who amongst us is doing that? They waited, looked, found out it's their commander who's waxing their boots in the middle of the night. Nobody knows. Then Allah chose him. That's ikhlas, doing it for my sake. Not name, not recognition. Serving mu'mineen. A servant of the mu'mineen because of Allah. Very important for us to keep in mind. So, moving on, right? So that was about Islamic work, right? But let's go back to that verse. So Musa alayhi salam saw the girls were in trouble, volunteered his services with ikhlas, then Allah rewarded. Then Allah gave. So what about offering services with ikhlas? Not only making an Islamic center, not only our services, brothers and sisters, please pay attention, brothers and sisters. Each one of you is talented.
All of us, we believe that we are the greatest of Allah's creation. Human beings are the greatest of Allah's creation. We're told in a hadith, we can be worse than the animals, we can be greater than the malaika. We can be worse than shaitan, we can be greater than Jibra'il. Okay? So, all of us, we have something we can offer to the cause. All of us, we have something we can give. Right? Let's be like Musa. We offer our services with ikhlas. But let's also learn this from Musa. Musa didn't wait till the girls came to him. Musa sought the girls out. They're in trouble. I want to mention some issues that I feel are important. And inshallah, under the guidance, Maulana is here, you have a center. These are things that inshallah we can do. One of them. Brothers and sisters, sometimes in our own communities, there are people who need financial assistance. In our own communities. Sometimes in the immigrant community, not the Muslims who are indigenous, the immigrant community, there are immigrant Muslims who are on welfare in our own community. Who are on welfare, who need assistance. What happens is people are dignified. They don't show to others. They don't explain about their indigence and how they're going through difficulties, right? We have verses of Quran about describing some of the poor. They say, يَحْسَبُهُمُ الْجَاهِلْ أَغْنِيَاءَ مِنَ التَّعَفُّفِ. The ignorant person, the person who's unaware of this person's situation, considers this person wealthy because they're dealing with dignity, they're not complaining, they're just moving about, but actually they do need help. What did Musa do? I look for others, not to expose their faults, right? Are there any of the mu'mineen, this is the month of Ramadan, are there any of the mu'mineen or mu'minat who could use assistance? Use help in a dignified manner. Musa approaching, volunteering, not throwing it back in the person's face. Is there any amongst us or outside of us? Let's not be tribal, only if you come to this center. No. Is there anybody who I can help and provide assistance with? More than that, we want to help people to be able to stand on their own two feet too, right? Not just give wealth, right? Skills. Make our next generation financially independent. Help people pay off their debts. There's an effort being made by brothers and sisters here. I know about the brothers. I'm sure there's probably sisters involved. To create an Islamic credit union. So we help people who are, they're paying school debts. You know, right now, you want to become a doctor. You know, you guys know how much it costs now if you want to go to school. How do we pay off those debts? Is there any way of us assisting one another? Getting people to stay on their own 2 feet? No, once they're standing on their own 2 feet, we tell the person, you help out another student, not me. Another student, you take their hand, right? How can we help mu'mineen and mu'minat get out of debt? If they're people who, it's not because they're just spending lavishly, but people fall into trouble, how can we help that? More than that, brothers and sisters, one of the things we need to do, if we're going to put our roots down here, and we're going to take this to the next level, is we need several, for this community in Houston, let alone the rest of the nation, several high-class K-12 schools. Not just Al-Hadi, that has to be perfect. We have to help that. In addition to that, how many mu'mineen do we have here? And our schools should outdo other schools, brothers and sisters. That's what they do. When there's other Muslim schools, I can mention the names, I won't mention them right now. Other Shia schools, standing firm on the principles of the Ahlul Bayt, their children, the children who go to those schools, outdoing everybody else, going to the top universities, and then the school will announce it. You went to a Muslim school, you made it to the top universities in Canada. Right? We can do this, brothers and sisters. We can turn at several schools, not just one. So improving this one, several schools. We need to do these things. It's not enough, right? What more than that? Matchmaking, brothers and these are just ideas, though. These are just ideas. Matchmaking, brothers and sisters. One of the problems we have for our brothers and our sisters is finding them suitable spouses. Sometimes we have excellent sisters, for instance, but now they're not 18 anymore. They're a little older, 20, 25, a little older. For instance, sisters, brothers also. So alhamdulillah, there is a matchmaking service that's here, but you guys know that more than that, you and I, us, with ikhlas, we need to serve as the means between people, introducing people, getting people to know one another. By the way, when you do this, one quick point. Don't tell the person, if you're introducing a brother, not to Sheikh Usama because he's married, right? One of the single brothers, one of the single sisters, okay? You're going to get me in trouble here, okay? You're going and you're introducing somebody. Don't say, I guarantee this brother or sister is the perfect mu'min or mu'mina, right? Because then people will come back to you. And normally none of us are Imam Ali, right? So you made me, right? So if I, as a sheikh, introduce somebody, the sheikh, you told me to marry her. I didn't tell you to marry her. I'm introducing somebody. You're both adults. Figure it out. But brothers and sisters, matchmaking in our community, after the month of Ramadan, we should be finding, are there any mu'minat? Are there any mu'mineen who need to get married? Is this a way that I could offer my time, my abilities, get people to know one another? Right? Can I help the current matchmaking system that they have here? More than that, right? There's a masjid that they want to make in the fifth ward, right? They want to make a masjid closer to the city. That masjid only needs $200,000 to be finished. A masjid, we could have a masjid teaching the teachings of Ahlul Bayt to the oppressed and non-oppressed, because it's not a black masjid, right? It's a special, this is a for mu'mineen and mu'mineen, for everyone. We could help that out. Right, we can get people. We could be able to offer our prayers at work, coming from work praying. Right, more than that, we need sports facilities for our sisters to be able to pray without taking off the hijab, without feeling ashamed. There's ways. Meaning, point being, there's so many ways for us as mu'minin and mu'minat to find out. But then after that, prioritize. What are the most important things? What are ways for us to give sadaqah? So, sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
Next one, again going back to the verse, the idea, I'm doing my part, I'm not waiting on anybody else, I'm doing my part in order to help the cause. Sometimes it's not social work, sometimes it's not working in a center, sometimes it's in family relationships. Instead of me waiting, I can be like Musa, I'm the first person who takes the right step. Let's say there's a brother or sister, I've been struggling with my spouse. My spouse and I aren't getting along. Not the way that we would like to. Not that happy marriage of the Prophet and Lady Khadija. We're not like that. We want to get to that, right? Who takes the first step? Do I wait? Or am I like Musa? I take the first step, right? Now, the thing that's difficult about this is that sometimes if you don't do it with ikhlas, you start to make that initial effort, it's not appreciated. If I did it with ikhlas, I can continue, right? For instance, for our sisters, they're told that their Islamic duty is to dress up for their husbands. We have a hadith. It says that her duty is to wear the best of her perfume, the best of her clothing, best of her jewelry, and present herself to her husband morning and evening. Right? That's what God wants to see, that the wife is dressed up. Now, sometimes the husband doesn't realize how much it goes into dressing up. Sometimes the husband won't even bother to give a compliment. There's some men who are like that. I remember hearing a story once. They said that once these hillbillies went to New York. And when the hillbillies went to New York, they were amazed by everything they saw. But the thing that really amazed them was the elevator. They were really amazed by the elevator. They were like, this is incredible. And they were saying, Dad, what is that? He said, I don't know. Let's look. So they were waiting, and then they saw an 84-year-old woman walk up to the elevator. The doors open. She went in her wheelchair. Lights go on, lights go off, and then a beautiful 24-year-old comes out. And so then the husband was he's like, Dad, what just happened? He said, I don't know, but you get Mom. So what happens, sometimes people don't know the work that goes into making this effort to be beautiful, for instance, to be appreciated, right? If the husband doesn't do it, or the husband is the one who's making that effort, right? But even in our family relationships, if we can do it with ikhlas. Let me share you one story of somebody who did this with ikhlas, right? This woman, her name was Salim. And we have in different ulama relating this, in different ahadith, the story of this woman named Salim. So she was one of the Ansar. So Salim, what happened was, she and her husband, very good Muslims, but she was special. Salim was special, very good mu'mina, ikhlas. Wait till you hear her story. So what happened was, they had a child who was terminally ill, falling sick, terminally ill. And the father was very much attached to his son, very much attached to his son. By the way, there shouldn't be favoritism. Sometimes I hear that some men, they're a little bit, when it comes to their sons, a little easier on the sons, a little stricter on the daughters, right? The daughter is the family name. The boy, alhamdulillah, we'll straighten things out, right? Whereas the tarbiyah is needed for both. Tarbiyah is needed for both, okay? But anyhow, he's a loving Muslim father, and it should be like this, very much attached to his son. Now, his child is terminally ill. The wife, Salim, she notices that he's so attached to his son that, God forbid, if his son passes,
he may say something inappropriate even to God. Sometimes people in bala and difficulty, the way they talk to God, the relationship they have with God is not nice. So she's careful, she's watching. And then one day, their son passed. When the son passed, she finds out the husband's not home yet. She tells everybody else in the house, don't tell anything to Dad. According to some, moves him out of the room, wraps him up. Nobody knows. She tells the others, let me handle it when Dad comes home. I don't want him to go over, see the son, and then he'll freak out. They said that she sent him to the prophet on an excuse. Go see the prophet. I need to know this hadith. I need to know this. She sends him to the prophet. When he leaves, then she makes an excellent, now imagine, this is a grieving mother. Women will understand what this means. A grieving mother, I've just lost my child, but I am doing this with ikhlas. I want to help preserve my husband, right? The ayat of Quran says that you are libas for them, they are libas for you, right? We're there to protect one another. I want to make sure my husband's relationship with Allah is kept firm. So she goes over, this grieving mother, she makes a wonderful meal for her husband. Dresses up in a wonderful way, food, he comes home. They spend a wonderful evening together. The next day or later on in that evening, then she explains to him, she says that, I want to mention something to you. He said, what do you want to mention? He said, let's say there was a group of people, and these people were given an amana, a trust by somebody. Somebody went over and they gave them something that they really needed for a long time. Alhamdulillah, that's excellent. And then after a while, that person came, and then they said, I want that amanat back. And then these people, they start crying and screaming and getting upset. He said, what would you think about these people? He said, somebody like that, they'd be crazy, majaneen. Nobody would do that. She said, but we're not crazy people, right? He said, yeah. She said, your son was an amanat from Allah. Allah took him back. When she did this, the husband, he said that, He said, I'm the one who should have more sabr. You're a mother, you just lost your child. I should have more sabr. He made two rakats of salat and he went to the Holy Prophet. When he entered the Holy Prophet and he told him the story, the Prophet, they said, فَتَعَجَّبَ النَّبِي. The Prophet was surprised at the sabr, at the ikhlas of this woman. And he made dua for her. The result of that night was that she became pregnant with a child who became one of the best of the Ansar. So the point is, brothers and sisters, even in our family relationships, I'm not the person who waits. I go, I help, I assist with ikhlas, and then Allah produces results. Now, how do we develop this ikhlas? Now, this is a point that I found discussed by Allama Tabatawai, Allah have mercy on his soul, when he's coming over this part. He explains, he says that Musa, this is something which is now found in the spiritual instructions. For those people who are looking for practical irfan, one of the most important, and we're just going over basic details, right? We're not claiming to know anything from this, basic details. One of the most important points in practical irfan is a concept that's called al-muraqabah. Al-muraqabah. Defining it basic, layman's term, the little bit that I understand, is the idea of constantly seeing myself, brothers and sisters, those people who want to go to the higher levels of Islamic spirituality, constantly seeing myself as being in the presence of God, always in the presence of God, always making sure that I'm doing my taklif and my responsibility. Now, the wonderful thing about al-muraqabah is that if someone does this properly, instead of me and you, what happens is, for instance, I have a problem with jealousy. So I keep fighting with myself, so that I'm not acting in a jealous way. But it's as if there's a root, a tree that's grown up in a yard, I keep cutting off the top branches, the root's still there. What happens if we do al-muraqabah? We can burn out the roots that are causing that bad action. Al-muraqabah. So when Allama Tabatabai is explaining this, he says, look at the story of Musa. When Musa made that accident, attention to God. After istighfar, attention to God. Musa has to run, Allah show me, we went over these verses ourselves. Musa has to run, attention to God. Musa sees problems, goes over and help the sisters. Again, all of his focus, I'm always in the presence of God. Al-muraqabah, always in the presence of God, always trying to do my responsibilities. Brothers and sisters, if we can start to do this at whatever level we can start to work towards this area of ikhlas.
Work towards this ikhlas that we'd like to have. It doesn't mean, brothers and sisters, that while we're not at perfect levels of ikhlas, we shouldn't do good work. No, whatever level we're at, we try our best for the sake, and Allah's kind, Allah Kareem, Allah will accept, inshallah. But we're only working towards ikhlas, so even tiny actions have great barakah. Now, one of the things that we have, this is a problem that I feel that we face as a community, not just here globally, for us as Shia. With Shia, see if you can agree with me on this, or maybe you'll agree to disagree with me on this. One thing you'll notice with us Shia, is you'll notice a lot of love. Love of Ahlul Bayt. Willingness to spend. Right? Alhamdulillah, in our communities, willingness to spend. There are many of the mu'mineen and mu'minat, not only helping out in an Islamic center here, helping out others, helping out back home. Mu'mineen and mu'minat are generous. They'll spend, get food, right? Mu'mineen and mu'minat, right? So that part is good. Alhamdulillah, that's good. What we lack, brothers and sisters, is sometimes coordination. Let me give you an example. Look at us Shias, but look from the outside. From the outside. When you see that Arba'een comes, Arba'een, you'll see mu'mineen and mu'minat walking from Najaf to Karbala. Walking. When you number, what is the number of people who do this? You hear ridiculous numbers. Is it 20 million? Is it 22 million? Is it 17 million, right? How many Shias are there in the world? Is it what, 250 million of us? Is it 300 million? Whatever it is. 20 million, let's say one-tenth. So let's say 7% of us, either 10% of us, 7, right? What amount of us are that willing that we'll go for a walk? Ikhlas, readiness. But what happens? Coordination of efforts, okay? How do we coordinate the efforts of the mu'mineen and mu'minat, right? I have skills in this department. I can help mu'mineen and mu'minat straighten themselves out financially. That's my job. I can help debts. I'm a doctor. You know what Hezbollah will do? Hezbollah will say, okay, you know what? You're a doctor. I need you to give me 2 hours. What are you? I'm a dentist. You give me 2 hours. Do work for free, which we're doing, right? But how can we coordinate these things? So it's not just random acts all over. I don't know what you're doing. We need to be able to coordinate these things. So one of the things, one of the blessings of having wilaya and having leadership and having direction is coordination of activities. Sometimes people don't know what it is. What's the function of having a wali or having local leadership even? Why not just do things? Have a class. Just, right? Sometimes since people don't know these things, people get confused. I remember hearing a story once. They said that there was this old lady. She had 4 sons, and these 4 sons went to college, went to the university. Everybody did well, alhamdulillah. And then their mother's like 80 years old. They decide to buy their mother a gift. Each one of them decides to buy the mother a gift. So one of the sons, very wealthy, says, I'll buy mom a nice BMW. Another one says, I'll buy mom a nice TV, right? And you know, you've seen some of those TVs, right? Big as the wall, right? Surround sound, everything. Another one says, I'll buy mom a beautiful house, 15 rooms, right? I want to give back to my mom. And one of them, even more clever, he said, you know what? Mom loves to read the Bible. There is a parrot. There were 8 priests working to teach this parrot to memorize the Bible. Mom's eyesight isn't so good, so this parrot, anywhere that mom wants to read in the Bible, she'll tell the parrot will read it from hifs. Right? Wonderful. 8 years it took to train them. 8 priests take 8 years to train this one parrot to be able to do this. So then what happened? Then they get the thank you notes from mom. So mom said that, well, son, thank you for that big car, but I'm not even able to drive it anymore. So thank you still, alhamdulillah, you know. Said, oh, for that big house, those 15 rooms, alhamdulillah, that's wonderful. But I'm an old lady, one room is more than enough for me. Still, thank you, the thought was very nice, alhamdulillah. See, that TV, you know, that would be good if I had friends. My friends are dead now. Me sitting in that review is like a theater. She said, but you last son, Milton, you really did a good job. That parrot, that chicken was excellent. She ended up eating it, right? So what happens is, sometimes what happens, we don't know the function of something, we're not able to benefit from it. What is the benefit of having local leadership? What is the benefit of having global leadership? Coordination. It's not about micromanaging, by the way. That wilaya means to micromanage. No. Let's read this hadith. It says that
We'll start off in this way. It says this, that the just ruler is like a merciful father. The just ruler is like a merciful father, right? Somebody who gives us direction. Somebody who pushes us in the right way, help us to identify, help us to have an identity, to move in the right direction. That's actually what we need. See, brothers and sisters, we are actually, we're invincible if we get our act together. We're invincible. If we get, the verse of Quran says this, وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. You are superior in kuntum mu'mineen, if you're believers. The Islamic system is one that rides on the shoulders of the believers. It's the most democratic system in the world. The mu'mineen have to want this system in order for it to come into place. The mu'mineen have to support this system. Even if the imam is Imam Ali, the mu'mineen have to support. When the Quran is talking about the Prophet, this is what it says in the verse. Huwalladhi, God is the one who assisted you. Binasrihi wa bil mu'mineen. With divine help and with the mu'mineen. So what happens is, that brothers and sisters, the way Allah's designed the universe, Allah's designed it so that if we do what our responsibility is, we can advance much faster than the rest of the world. We're working one with the universe. Let me read you the hadith. He says, Ya Ali, awha Allah tabarak wa ta'ala ila dunya. God revealed to the dunya, serve the one who serves me. Serve the one who serves me. So we can do these things, right? Now, what happens? So, one of the things is realizing, well, first of all, what's my responsibility? How do I give back? This is a beautiful hadith from Luqman, right? Luqman was asked to take on a social responsibility, right? The angels came to Luqman. They said that, do you want God to make you the Khalifa? And Luqman said, it depends. He said, if God is making me the Khalifa, yes. But if it's my choice, no. The responsibility is too great. They said, why would you accept it if God makes you the Khalifa? He says, if it's my taklif, if it's something that's necessary, if it's a religious duty, God will help me and protect me. God will help me and protect. I'll be able to do it right. Help me and protect me. So what happens is, if we could do that, then the strength that we have to overcome, to resist, to do things is great. So all you need to do, brothers and sisters, is to kind of offer, be like Musa. We offer our services, we coordinate our activities, we find out what we're doing, and in that way, inshallah, we'll be able to hasten the reappearance of the Imam. We ask Allah, by the right of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, to accept what was said and heard in his way. We ask that Allah forgive all of our sins. Forgive the sins of our parents, our loved ones. If there's anybody who has anything in their heart towards us, or we have in our hearts towards them, we ask that Allah, by the right of these wonderful nights, that Allah forgive them and that Allah forgive us. We ask that he protect all of the ulama, maraja, and especially the leader. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.